So when you think about existing uses for development and the impact that they have on developing a solar project, I mean, they largely fall under title and real estate work and permitting activities during project development. When you think about agriculture, the biggest thing that comes to mind is if you're siting a solar project on agricultural land, there will likely be some requirements for mitigation land to mitigate the loss of agricultural use and or some property tax benefit losses. A lot of states have implemented various tax incentives to provide farmers with tax breaks for keeping their land in agricultural production, such as the Farmland Security Zone Protection and Williamson Act Protection in the West, and even in Michigan, the Farmland Open Space and Prevention Program in the Midwest. There are just a number of people in the agricultural community that really want to see agricultural land stay in agricultural production. They see it as a source of jobs in the U.S. as well as just a food kind of independence for the U.S. Land in existing agricultural use, in particular land that is of higher value row crop use, it does trigger risk mitigation requirements, and you could see the loss of tax benefits. So there's a lot of work that has to be done on the development side to figure out what is suitable mitigation land? Where can I buy that? Can I get mitigation land from the existing farmer that I'm looking to transact with for the solar land? And what are going to be the impacts of those loss and tax benefits? Are they going to be felt by the farmer? Are they going to be felt by the solar facility and operations? And how do we make the farmer whole for those and or absorb those tax benefit losses in the economic model of the solar facility? Another thing to consider is that in many jurisdictions, agricultural land is actually not zoned as a compatible use for solar. So a zoning amendment is needed, which requires typically a higher level jurisdictional approval by a board of supervisors equivalent, which could add time and complexity to a permitting process. And because agriculture needs water to grow. A lot of the places that are in active agricultural use that may be good for solar facilities may have water feature considerations, such as jurisdictional waters or floodplain issues to deal with, particularly when you think about siting a project on a rice field, for example, where there's a lot of water flooding to irrigate the crop. All of these things could lead to longer development timeframes and approval processes for permitting and additional project costs through mitigation requirements, higher property taxes, and something I actually didn't touch on, but crop damage that may need to be paid to the farmer during on-site diligence. When you think about minerals, minerals are probably just as impactful as agricultural use. But for a different reason, mineral activity is in itself not an issue necessarily. It's really important the manner in which minerals are explored and extracted that is important, because depending on how they're explored and extracted will have implications on development, which we'll talk about now, as well as the design and construction of your facility, which I'll talk about on a subsequent slide. On the development side, it's extremely time-consuming and costly to do title searches for mineral, oil, and gas subsurface rights. A lot of times there are multiple severances. They could date back decades and often lead to dead ends from either a counterparty that is deceased, or it could be that you reach out to a counterparty that is the owner of the subsurface rights and they had no idea that they owned them. So there's a lot of time that's spent educating them on what those rights are that they have and the best way to transact with us to protect their interests, but also allow us to move forward with a solar facility. To satisfy investors, our internal requirements, surface waivers are often required to ensure that mineral owners have legal access to their minerals without having unintended consequences on the design, construction, and operations of a solar facility. And to top it all off, if all of that didn't sound complicated enough, a lot of times mineral owners will actually lease their mineral rights to third-party energy companies. So multiple surface waiver agreements may be needed for just a single mineral estate, depending on the number of owners and the number of leases that those owners have made with third-party energy companies. I will say that tracking down the third-party energy companies and getting their attention is also extremely time-consuming, and a lot of times because, you know, from their perspective, a solar facility on one particular mineral state they may have in one particular county in one particular state in the U.S. is not very important to them or not worth their time. It takes a lot of effort to effectively engage them.